We have been looking at, over the past several Sundays, a sermon series that I've entitled The With God Life. I'd like to continue that right now, and we're going to spend primarily most of our time in the book of Genesis, chapter 11, in a few verses of 12. Because when we're looking at the live with God life, what it means is responding over and over and over again when God says, go. If I had to title my message today, it would be The Holy Go. And we're going to look at one of the first times in the Bible, if not the first time in the Bible, that this has taken place, and it has some huge ramifications for us. So the scripture reading today is going to be a little bit extended, but the rest of the sermon is going to be centered on this text. We're going to start from Genesis chapter 11, verse 27, and read through Genesis chapter 12, verse 9. It's an exciting time, and it comes down to a person by the name of Abraham. First 11 chapters, just by way of background, of the book of Genesis. Great big cosmic scale. All of creation's done, then a cataclysmic fall, then God's judgment, a giant flood comes. But all of it is actually leading up to this moment. A moment in Genesis chapter 12 when things narrow down from really, really big to really, really small. And it narrows from a nation to a man. And this man is not a king, just a simple dude. And it's not on a grand scale. Kind of out in the middle of nowhere. But that's the power of our God, and this message has a lot of implications and promise for us. So we're going to start reading, and here we go. It's the account of Terah's family line. Now these are the generations of Terah. Terah begat Abram, Nahor, and Haran. And Haran begat Lot. And Haran died before his father Terah in the land of the Nativity in the Ur of Chaldees. And Abram and Nahor took them wives. The name of Abram's wife was Sarai. The name of Nahor's wife was Milcah, and the daughter of Haran, the father of Milcah, and the father of Iscah. But Sarai was barren, and she had no child. And Terah took Abram his son, and Lot his son, of Haran his son's son, and Sarai his daughter-in-law, his son Abram's wife, and they went forth with them from the Ur of Chaldees to go into the land of Canaan, and they came unto Haran, and dwelt there. And the days of Terah were 205 years, and Terah died in Haran. And the Lord said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country, and from thy kindred, and from thy father's house, into a land that I will show thee. And I will make thee a great nation, I will bless thee, and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. I'll bless them that bless thee, and curse them that curseth thee, and in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. So Abram departed as the Lord had spoken unto him, and Lot went with him. And Abram was 75 years old when he departed out of Haran. And Abram took Sarai his wife, and Lot his brother's son, and all their substance that they had gathered, and the souls that they had gotten in Haran, and they went forth to go into the land of Canaan, and to the land of Canaan they came. And Abram passed through the land to the place of Sychem, and into the plain of Moriah, and the Canaanite was in the land. And the Lord appeared unto Abram and said, unto thy seed will I give this land. And builded he an altar unto the Lord who had appeared to him. And he removed from thence into a mountain in the east of Bethel and pitched his tent, having Bethel on the west, Hai on the east. And there he built an altar unto the Lord and called upon the name of the Lord. And Abram journeyed going still towards the south. Our message today is going to be centered on this word, go. And there are always two parts to the word go. There's always two parts to the word go. There's going from something, and then there's going to something. And right here, God says, I want you to go from the country. I want you to go from the land that's familiar to you, from your people, from the culture that has shaped you, from your father's household. And I want you to leave home. And you need to know this about this part of the story. God comes to this family and to his family when they're living in the Ur of Chaldees. And we'll come back to that. But at this time, the Ur of Chaldees was thought to be perhaps the largest city in the world. As a matter of fact, history shows us that the first legal code came from this area. And about 2000 B.C., it was the great place on the earth. All of the wealth of the world would come through trading and around the Mediterranean, and it was going on in ancient Mesopotamia. So travels over the world had to pass through this place called Ur. It's great, a place of great wealth, great trade, great learning, great commerce, great technology, and it was Ur. And Ur is a difficult place to leave. The word comes, though, from God, and he says, I want you to leave Ur, and I want you to go to the land that I'm going to show you. Now, this go of God is actually kind of a vague word. It turns out to be this land that is called Canaan, and Canaan was everything that Ur was not. Whereas Ur was wealthy, Canaan was not. It was uncultured, it was uncivilized, it was undeveloped, it was uncultivated, it was a rough and difficult place, and nobody would ever, that lived in Ur, would ever go to Canaan. It'd be like somebody nowadays leaving Atlanta to go live in Hayhara. I mean, you just don't do that. Who does that? And so God comes to him and he says, I want you to leave. And obviously, if you're Abram, the big question is, why? Why do you want me to leave this place? Why do you want me to leave what's comfortable? And the text doesn't say. God doesn't tell Abram why he wants him to go, but he actually has, we actually have a really good idea, and this will relate to you and me. God says this later in the Bible, in the book of Joshua, Joshua chapter 24, verse 2 and 3, it says, your fathers dwelt on the other side of the flood in the old time, even Terah, the father of Abraham, the father of Nahor, they served other gods. And I took your father Abraham on the other side of the flood and led him throughout all the land of Canaan and multiplied his seed and gave him Isaac. Now, Abram had received a cultural inheritance in Ur, worshiping many little gods and in superstitious ways trying to get what you wanted through their little bitty gods or superstitious gods. And that's the condition of the human race without God. Now, if I've lost your attention at this point, I want you to pay attention. Because every single one of us has an Ur in our life. Every single one of us at different areas of our life, and my Ur is not your Ur, and your Ur is not my Ur. But every single one of us has a calling of God to go. We're going to come to that. But in order to go, we have to go from something to something. Some of us have to go from friendships that we have right now to other friendships. Because the friendships that we have right now have bad influences on us, bad impact on us. They're dragging us down and filling us with negativity, unspiritual negativity. Maybe those friendships revolve around gossiping or sin or something. And God calls us to go. We got to leave that kind of lifestyle. Some of the men in this congregation, if statistics are right, are having a struggle with pornography. Make no mistake about it. God is calling you to go from that to a much better life. Some might be having a calling of God to go from financial mismanagement to biblical financial management. But every one of us has a call on their life. Some of us might have call to go from a bad relationship to a biblical relationship. But every one of us has a call of God on their life. If I've lost your attention, please give it back to me. Because there's only one way to go, and that's going to be by faith. And let's look at it. So Abraham calls on up. Abraham receives his cultural inheritance, worshiping a whole bunch of little gods. Now, and the Bible is not just a collection of random stories. It's actually the spiritual development of his family. Life with God. And God is going to begin the spiritual development with this dude right here named Abram. So this is a pivotal moment. God says, go. God is going to create a people through whom his name can be mediated throughout the whole earth. They're going to be his representatives. And he's going to have to root out of Abraham all kinds of beliefs, all kinds of attitudes, all kinds of habits, and a commitment to idolatry. And God has to begin teaching Abram a whole new way of understanding the world, of understanding faith, and really of understanding his own identity. And that's why he gives him a new name. You were Abram, but I'm going to call you Abraham because you're going to be the father of many people, great nations. And all the earth is going to be blessed through you. So Abram, when he gets the call of God on his life, he now has a new purpose. And for Abram to stay where he is in Ur would make that impossible. All of his old relationships, all of his old patterns, all of his old way of life would have just sucked him back into that idolatry and would have reinforced that stuff. So Abram's going to have to leave everything that would keep him from the life that God wants him to live. And he's going to have to go to journey with God. And what does God give him? Fair question. You're asking something pretty good of me. What do I get? And Abram gets a promise. Just a promise. Only a promise. I'm going to make you into a great nation, and I'm going to bless you, and we're going to make, and then you're going to make a big name. Now, previous in the Bible, if you look back, you look at the Tower of Babel and things like that, it's always about making a name for themselves, but God says, I'm going to give you something that you can't get on your own. I'm going to do something wonderful, and I'm going to give you something you can't do for yourself. I will make thee a great nation. I will bless thee. I'll make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing, and I will bless thee. Bless them that bless thee and curse them that curse thee. This is a promise of divine protection, of safety and security. And in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. God's saying, I'm doing something wonderful in this world, and I'm going to do it through you. Now, in Genesis chapter 1, God makes creation. Think about this for just a second. God makes creation in order to be able to have something to bless. And over and over and over again, God blesses, but then sin comes and the curse comes. And if you look in Genesis chapter 1 and the rest of the Genesis, you find out that when sin comes, there's actually these five curses that are going to be going on. And now, you know, the serpent is cursed, the ground is cursed, there's the mark of Canaan. But then God brings Abram onto the scene. And God begins anew with Abram. And God uses this passage in the word bless five times. So he's using one man to reverse all the curses that have been given thus far. And we're going to come back to that. God gives Abraham a promise. There's now going to be a with God people. And it's going to happen through you, Abraham, and through a child that I'm going to give you. Now, Abram would immediately have a real good reason to be skeptical. Because Sarah is 65 years old. And she's beyond the normal childbearing years. And you read in Genesis chapter 11, verse 30. Now, Sarai was barren. And she had no child. There is a world of hurt in that statement. And that's why it's here. There's a unique pain to not having a child. There's a unique pain around the desire to have a child. Always in the human soul, there is the potential for this ache around little children. And in the ancient world, it was actually even a bigger deal than it is today. In the ancient world, children meant financial security because there was no safety net. There was no Obamacare. There was no 401k. There was only children. It was the continuity of your name. It was a form of immortality. And for women in particular in the ancient world, that's why they were understood to actually be on the planet. And the inability to have children was not just a disappointment. It was a stigma, it was shame, and it was disgrace. And Abram is 75 years old at this point, and his wife 65 years old, and they have been disappointed with life for a long, long time. They have offered sacrifices to every little god that they owned. They have prayed prayers to all those miniature idols. And now this very strange God is coming on the scene, and he's saying, I'm going to make happen what you've been waiting 50 years for, but in order to do it, you have to go. You have to leave. And how are they going to go? By faith. That's the only way you can go. Hebrews chapter 11 says this for us. It says, by faith Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should receive an inheritance, obeyed. And he went out, not knowing whether he went. And when you go, I want to tell you something. You never know where you're going if you're actually going by faith. And by faith, he sojourned into the land of promise as in a strange country. If you're going by faith, you're always a stranger in this world because you're going with God. And here it says, through faith, Sarah also received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of a child when she was just past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Don't you love that phrase? And therefore sprang there even one in him as good as dead, so as many stars of the sky in the multitude and as the sand which is by the seashore innumerable. When you get the divine go, you have to go by faith. And there will always be an excuse for you not to go. Abraham's excuse was, I'm too old, but it doesn't matter. And somehow in our church, the church needs to be a place where old and young can work together and love and honor each other. Because here's the thing. If you're not dead, you're not done. If you're not dead, you're not done. Abraham is 75 years old. He's had to wait. He's going to have to wait another 24 years, and he still doesn't have a child by Sarah. And God comes to him again 24 years later and repeats this promise. And it says in the book of Genesis, then Abraham fell upon his face and laughed and said in his heart, shall a child be born unto him that is 100 years old and Sarah that is 90 years old bear? And God says, Sarah, you are going to bear a son. And I don't care how old you are, because if you're not dead, you're not done. You're still alive. And if you're still alive, it's because God wants you alive. And if God wants you alive, He has a reason for you to be alive. So if you're not dead, you're not done. In fact, God says, Abraham, I'm going to give you a sign of my promise. I'm going to give you a sign of my covenant. Because I want you to put your faith in me, not in your wisdom, not in your ability to know what's going on or be able to predict the future or foresee circumstance or engineer outcomes. I want you to put all of your trust in me and your life in me. In Genesis chapter 17, verse 11. And ye shall circumcise the flesh of your foreskin, and it shall be a token of the covenant twixt you and me. God says, listen to me. God says, oh, Abraham, my son, you're not done. You're not dead. And not only will I fulfill my promise through you, not only will you have a son who be the beginning of the new with God community. That's what we're looking at here. But in addition to that, here's what I'm going to do. I'm creating a new sign of my covenant. It's going to be the circumcision. 99 years old, and you're going to have the honor, you're going to have the joy, you're going to have the spiritual legacy of being the very first guy to be circumcised. 99 years old, how do you feel about that? Abraham goes, you know, Noah had a rainbow. But if you're not dead, you're not done. In the Bible, age is never a reason for someone to say no when God says go. Moses is 80 years old. 80 years old when he's called on to lead the people of Israel out of Egypt. Caleb is 80 years old when he asks God, God, give me one more mountain to take in the promised land. There's a lady, I saw a news report about her the other day. Her name is Florence Dettler. 101 years old. She is the oldest person on Facebook. She decided one day, you know, I'd like to reach out to people, have a new challenge in my life. And her great, great granddaughter's like, Grandma, let's do Facebook. So she signs up, gets her an account. Mark Zuckerberg, the owner of the corporation, the owner of Facebook, finds out that she's 100 years old. And she is the oldest person on Facebook. They do a TV interview about her. After the TV interview, she got 7,000 friend requests. So now it's like carpal tunnel, except. 101 years old, now she's reaching all these people on Facebook. Devout Christian. If you're not dead, you're not done. Moses, 80. Caleb, 80. Abraham tries to say no. There's always an excuse. Abraham tries to say no because he's too old. Timothy tries to say no because he's too young. Esther tries to say no because she's the wrong gender. Moses tries to say no because he has the wrong gift. Gideon tries to say no because he's from the wrong tribe. Elijah tries to say no because he thinks he has the wrong enemy. Jonah tries to say no because he thinks he's being sent to the wrong city. Paul tries to say no because he thinks he's from the wrong background. And God keeps on saying over and over to all these individuals with their lame excuses, go. Go. If you're not dead,
you're not done. If you're not dead, that's a big clue. You're not done. You're not too young in this church. You're not too old in this church. You're not the wrong gender in this faith. You're not the wrong background in this faith. If God is calling you to do something, God's going to make it possible. And this is what I know. The divine and holy go comes to every single life, the child of God. It may come into your life today, tomorrow. It's probably already come. And here's what else I know. It's going to mess with your life because it means leaving something. When you get the word go, you always have to leave something. For sure, it means leaving whatever stands in the way of life with God. It'll mean leaving sin without a doubt. It can mean leaving prestige, security, comfort. It can mean leaving a lot of things. And I was kind of thinking, what would look like in our world today? In our world, where is there a great concentration of wealth, of technology, of mobility, of education, of learning? What would a place like that look like? And see, we live in the Ur of Chaldees today. That's where we live. And when we get the word go, you don't go by sight. You don't get to know. And I know so often in a message like this, and when this topic is brought up, people are going to want to know, well, how do I know for sure where I ought to go? Or that's what I ought to do. How should I be guaranteed that if I say yes, there'll be no risk of hurt, no risk of failure, no risk of criticism, no pain? And it doesn't work that way for us. When we go by faith, we don't go by sight. We don't wait for guaranteed outcomes, at least not in this world. And this is the guarantee. And if I go, I mess up, that's all right. I'm always going to mess up. But if I don't risk, if I don't try, if I don't say yes, I will never do something wonderful for God. And if I say yes, I might fail, but God's bigger than my yes. And here's an interesting passage over back here in Genesis. And when we read these words, very intriguing little detail in the text about Abraham's dead. It says, And Terah took Abraham, his son, and Lot, his son of Haran's, and his son's son, and Sarai, his daughter-in-law, and his son Abram's wife. And they went forth with them from the Ur of Chaldees to go into the land of Canaan. And they came into Haran to dwell there. So Terah actually left. And he came to Haran. And here's the idea of what's going on. Because they start at this great center of wealth. They start at this great center of prosperity. And leaving the land of idols. And they begin down the road and they go and they pass through the city of Haran, then down into Canaan. And we're told that Terah, the father of Abraham, he starts in Ur, he goes up to Haran. And we know from the book of Ezekiel, for example, that Haran is a city a whole bunch like Ur. And there's a lot of wealth there and there are idols there. And Terah stops. So it may be well what's going on here is Terah's thinking to himself, if I go any farther, I could lose everything for sure. Maybe I'll just go halfway. Maybe I might give up the idols of Ur, but I'm going to stay within Haran and stay close by. So Terah, and the idea of what's going on here is Terah's actually choosing comfort. But his son Abraham actually chooses to say yes to his calling in his life. And if you live in the Ur of Chaldees, you're going to have to decide, and we do. We're going to have to decide between comfort and our calling. And that's a picture of what might be called the road not taken. And I was wondering about this story. If when Terah was an old, old man, because he lived to be 205 years old, and he hadn't seen his son Abram for many years, because if you line up the numbers, he lived to just within a few years of Abraham's death. When his grandson Isaac, the child of the promise, the child that they called Laughter, I was wondering if after he had been born, Terah had never seen him, when this promise of God began to be fulfilled, I wonder if Terah ever regretted stay in the comfort of Haran. And I was thinking this week about some of the saddest stories, or those calls that never get answered. The risk that never get taken. The path that never gets trodden. The obedience that never gets offered. The joyful generosity that never gets given. Lives that never get led. And an adventure that never happens. And I hope for you, as members of Camp Creek Church, that never happens to you. And this is the response, that God is doing something magnificent in our world. And the opposite response, which the whole story of the Bible kind of turns at this point, is Genesis chapter 12, verse 4. So Abraham departed as the Lord had spoken to him. Genesis chapter 12. Abraham departed as the Lord had spoken to him. And then God comes to Abraham and he gives him a blessing. I'm going to bless you. I'm going to make your name great. I'm going to bless those people that bless you. And I'm going to curse those people that curse you. The whole world is going to be blessed by you. Terah settled. Abram went. And God said go, and Abram said yes, and that was enough for God. Now Abraham, we know, is not going to get it perfect. Abraham's going to fall on his face. Abraham's going to do stupid things. He's going to make about every mistake in the book. He's going to stumble. He's going to sputter. He's going to mess up. But he's going to trust. And his trust was all that God wanted. Your trust is all that God wants today. Complete trust. Total trust. Not halfway trust. Not a Haran trust. But trust that says, I'll leave Ur. I'm not going to stop at Haran. But I'm going to go wherever you call me, Lord. You know, the Bible tells us that a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Jesus tells us you cannot serve God and mammon. This is not a black, gray, and white. This is a black and white issue. Because God issues a call to every one of his children. Everyone that's foreknown. Everyone that's chosen. Everyone that's predestinated. To live the with God life with Jesus fully present right now, helping you through your problems, leading you with his light, offering refreshment and replenishment when your soul is dry and weary. The only way to access that is to say yes and to follow him without exception, without dilution, without mitigation, completely and wholly. Your house is either going to be built on rock or your house is going to be built on sand. There's no in between. And so what's going on? Abraham really does this interesting thing because he goes into the land, and we start reading about this in that little passage we had just kind of read. And he starts building these little altars that we read about. These little places of devotion to God. And the text says that he calls on the name of the Lord. The idea here now is that this is the beginning of prayer and of worship in a regular way. He calls on the name of the Lord. What's going on is he has a promise. He has a vision, and it's not just his vision. This is God's vision. God is doing something wonderful that he gets to be a part of. And he's kind of claiming that promise. He's kind of saying the day is going to come and it's not yet here. Not yet, but I'm going to see it fully one day. The day is going to come when God, who created the heavens and the earth, is going to come back to this place. And the with God life is going to be reality once again on this planet earth. For ordinary men and women. And he's saying, okay, God, here's an altar. Here's another altar. Here's another offer. Here's another offer. Just remind me of these promises that you're going to come back one day. And then it begins. There's Isaac, then there's Jacob, then there's a family, then there's a tribe, then there's a nation, and there's a great temple and the great book, and all of it is leading up to one day and one man when again this call starts coming forth. Go. Leave. Leave your nets. Leave your tax collecting. Leave your adultery. Leave your sin and go and sin no more. For my sake, leave your mother, your fathers, your brothers, your sisters, and come. Come and follow me. And sometimes people did. Jesus said to a rich young ruler one time, he said, but sometimes people didn't. Jesus said to a rich young ruler one time, he said, go and sell everything that you have. Follow me. And the rich young ruler went away sad. I want you to notice something about that passage too. Jesus says to the rich young ruler, I want you to go and sell everything that you had. And the Bible says that the rich young ruler went away sad. But as he was walking away, scriptures say, and Jesus loved him. Our God's love is greater than our abilities. Our God's love is greater than our devotion. Our God's love is not diminished by our failures and our faults. But that rich young ruler, he missed out on the dream of a life because he had a little bitty god named money. It said that rich young ruler went away sad because he had many possessions. I think those are some of the saddest words in scriptures. But Abraham has a vision. And this vision leads up to one day where there's a man. And he says, I want you to go. Go. Go from your nets. Go from your sin. Go from your adultery. Go from your tax collecting. And one day, there was a day when this man Jesus traveled around the land where Abraham had been and built all these little altars of devotion. And one day he went to a cross and he died for the sins of his family. And he left his planet, and then he came back and he assembled them together again. And these are the words that he says. Therefore, go. Make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. I surely am with you always. I am with you, even to the end of the age. And it all began, this promise of the with God life, all began with little Abram. Go and all the peoples of the earth are going to be blessed. How? Through Jesus. Go and make disciples of all the earth, Jesus says. And now Abraham had his day, but now it's our day. So my question as we conclude is, what if Jesus's go still stands? Because I believe it does. The verb tenses that Jesus uses in what's known as the Divine Commission, I want you to go, teach, and baptize, are continuing tenses verbs. They did not end on the day that Jesus spoke them. They were not limited to just his group of people. They're given to us as a church and to you individually as a believer. I want you to go. I want you to teach. I want you to baptize. I want you to teach some more. And I believe that God is saying to everyone right now, who's his family, he says, I want you to go. I want you to leave the idols and the folly of Atlanta. I want you to leave the world that worships comfort and affluence and self. And I want you to pray. Make up there, come down here for the with God life. Brothers and sisters in Christ, it is human nature to cling desperately to things that bring us comfort. Temporary comfort. But I stand on the authority of Scripture when I say that God has a much better plan for your life than the things that are holding you back from wholesale, full-scale devotion to Jesus Christ. If you will turn your life over to this man who died for you, who paid for your sins, who assured your place in heaven, and all he's saying now is just come. Come follow me. My yoke is easy. My burden is light. Christian faith is not a faith and list of regulations. The Christian faith is a promise that you are part of something and it's much more magnificent than you can ever imagine. And Jesus says to you, come, let's go. And we're going to do it together.